Madam President, I'm on the floor to speak about something that the majority leader has just proposed and we've accepted by unanimous consent, and that is a one-week extension of existing farm policy, the existing farm bill. I come to the floor to speak because last night I put a hold on that UC request. I, like many senators, and especially American agriculture, are growing very frustrated and very restless about the reality that we don't have a farm bill. As we know, across America, in central parts of our country, certainly in the South, spring is here and it's planting season. And the farm bill that is current law that we just extended a few moments ago actually expired on September 30th of 2007. And it was on March 15th, or I should say July of 2007, that the House passed their version, and December 14th that we passed ours. Now, we've offered several extensions so that the principals, the House and the Senate Ag Committees, could work their differences with the administration and solve these problems. And yet, they've just not been able to do it. Is this symbolic of a dysfunctional Congress that we've been experiencing for the last several years, where we simply can't grapple with the big and responsible basic public policy issues of our country? It appears to be that way. I'll blame both sides on this issue. It's both sides that are at fault that they can't come together and, if you will, split the difference and solve a problem. That is the basic public policy for American agriculture. Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House, opposes the tax provision within the bill. Why? She isn't a member of the Finance Committee. She isn't a member of the Ag Committee. Yes, she is the majority leader, and therefore, if she opposes it, she can certainly block it, and she can kill farm policy. I've worked with Senator Harkin and Senator Saxby Chambliss for this last month, and I know they've worked overtime. This is not a criticism of our colleagues. It is a criticism of a dysfunctional system that no longer can cut a deal and make basic and important public policy. So here we are with one more extension. Saxby Chambliss called me this morning and said, "Larry, would you give us another week?" I said, "I'll give you one more week, but frankly, this is it. I will not accept another extension next week on the farm bill unless the deal has been cut, unless the agreement has been made. And it's simply the procedure of putting it in writing and getting it to print and getting it to the president." The president, when he signed the extension last time, said enough is enough. And even this week, he softly talked about vetoing an extension. So, I guess the point I'm trying to make is, what's at stake here? Why are we bickering over the fine points when the fundamental policy points are in place? Let's look at what we've done, because we ought to be proud of the work of the new farm bill. Significant increases in conservation funding for our working farmlands, including conservation stewardship and environmental quality incentive programs. These are programs that encourage farmers and ranchers to incorporate better tillage practices, thereby sequestering more carbon and doing their part as it relates to reducing greenhouse gas emissions. And we've added for our dairies a better manure management practices to reduce methane gas emissions. Here we are talking about climate change. The president spoke to climate change yesterday. And yet, we can't come to an agreement on something that would allow American agriculture to advance their practices to make it work in their instance and allow a contribution to the climate change carbon emissions issue. There's a provision within the new farm bill that I and Senator Stabenow worked on literally for 5 years to get a new provision in the farm bill to recognize the near 50% of gross revenue coming out of agriculture, today known as specialty crops. For the first time, it's in. For the first time, we have a new title on specialty crops. Now, if I say at the end of the week and their work isn't done, I'm not going to extend it anymore, I'm going to have to forego this. but I'm going to forego it and say to the farmers in Idaho and across America, let's do a 2-year extension on existing policy, or at least a 1-year extension so you know where you are when you get to planting season. Instead of watching Congress fall all over itself because it can't cut a deal, House and Senate disagreeing, or they're disagreeing with the president, isn't it about time that we settle our differences and show America that we can function, that we can work the process? Have we truly become so dysfunctional and so partisan on these fundamental bipartisan issues that they simply cannot be resolved? On our side, there is a bipartisan effort. I can't speak to the House side. I've not been in the negotiations. I can only see the results, and the results simply don't exist. And that's why this senator is on the floor today speaking with considerable frustration over why we have a Congress that months after the expiration of a law simply can't get its work done. Commodity programs, maintain a safety net. Yeah, commodity prices are high today, and farmers are profiting. But what goes up clearly can and does come down in the commodity markets. And a property safety net for wheat and barley, it was in there. And it's extremely important that we do that. Nutritional program increases, making the school snack program nationwide to deal with better health and fresh fruit availabilities for our school children. That's different and better. Disaster assistance, the disaster assistance program that will help aid our farmers and ranchers in a more efficient fashion in periods of serious drought and fire and other whole farm types of disaster. Here's an issue that in agriculture and in beef production has been an issue of considerable contention over time. It's called country of origin labeling. The American consumer today, when they go to the shelf and pick up a commodity and look at it, they like to know where it comes from. Is it a domestic U.S. product, or was it produced somewhere else in the world? We know that we have concern today about certain productions of certain types of products coming out of China and other areas. And a consumer's right to know, marketing certainty is important, country of origin label. And so we've acquiesced to finally implementing a mandatory country of origin labeling program by September of this year. Well, I don't know if you can do it if you keep shoving the farm bill out, keep extending it, and not allowing the operative language to come in place. There are critical tax provisions within this bill. My colleague, Senator Mike Crapo, has an Endangered Species Act compliance deduction and credits. There's wind energy credits and production tax credits for cellulosic ethanol. Once again, a nation that has grown increasingly dependent on foreign energy sources, we're saying to American agriculture and in this farm bill, here are some incentives for increased production. I was recently in Ottawa, Canada, looking at a cellulosic ethanol production plant, hoping that it'll be brought south of the border into the United States so we can begin to use agricultural residues for the purpose of making ethanol, lessening the pressure on some of our grain crops, especially our corn crops. Provisions in here to incentivize biodiesel. And yet, those incentives are the kind that Speaker Pelosi says, yeah, it's a non-starter, it's a deal breaker. How can making our country energy independent, how can incentivizing the promotion of endangered species within private lands and giving folks the benefit of doing that be a deal breaker? Well, it simply demonstrates how this Congress can't function today. We're basically on hold right now. We're not getting our work done in a variety of areas, and agriculture and the Farm Bill are simply a very tragic example of that type of effort, or lack thereof. As I've said, September 30th of last year, the policy expired. Current law was extended until March 15th, and then again until tomorrow. And that's why the leader was on the floor today, advancing it for one more week so that agriculture is not without policy and policy in place. This is the 17th. The work hasn't been done. This Monday, Chairman Harkin said he was fed up. And If he's fed up and he's a prime negotiator, what do we get? How do we deliver an ultimatum? Well, I'm not sure. But I am sure that we will not, nor should we, allow American agriculture to be without policy. All of the gains that I've talked about, all of the gains that were negotiated inside the Senate Ag Committee and inside the House Ag Committee could simply be wiped away because there is no willingness or ability to come together and work together in behalf of American agriculture. So I've agreed on 1 week extension. This is not an ultimatum, this is simply a statement of fact. I can't agree any longer. American agriculture, Idaho's farmers need to know, they deserve to know, they shouldn't be kept in limbo, bouncing on the end of a string because the politicians in Washington can't get their act together and simply can't agree. We've always come to an agreement on agriculture. It has always been a bipartisan policy. And I would hope that that practice of the past is a practice that ultimately can dominate the negotiations over this coming week. I hope my colleagues will keep their lights on during the weekend. It's time we work a little overtime on this to get this done, because I am one of several senators who are simply at a point of saying, can't go there anymore. Time to finish it. Time to tell American agriculture, here's the new policy, and if you can't, then let's extend the old policy and give them certainty for a minimum of at least 1 year. I yield the floor and note the absence of a quorum.